Well, as I prepare this afternoon, I'm reminded when Brother Chuck moved to Gladstone, Oregon, he said he made a commitment to the Lord that he was going to bring the word if it was just to his family, which would have been two children and wife. And I think there were sometimes that's pretty much what it was. But the Lord, it hasn't lessened the power of the word, and we need the word of God, whether we be few or many. I'd like to just go ahead and pick up where we left off this morning. I want us to begin, let's go ahead and turn over to the 24th chapter of Matthew and begin reading with the 14th verse. Matthew 24, verse 14, Jesus was speaking and he said, "The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." And that was a prophecy that Jesus was giving, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end would come. And we are, I believe, very quickly approaching that time. There, I'm not saying that everybody has heard the good news, but in many places, people that have one time had the good news of the gospel, they've let it go. And then that's their responsibility. But the Lord is still trying to get the good news of the gospel, this gospel. He's still trying to get it out to the world. And I said this morning, I'll say again, we all have different calls. We have different venues of ministry. But I think it is a disservice to put all of this on the pulpit preachers. We all have a responsibility to go into the world, and that mean it may mean across the street to your neighbor, the people you work with, but we have been a commissioned people to take the gospel to the world. And you said this gospel. Now, what does gospel mean again? Good news. We have good news to share. And I told the boys before, I said, if something wonderful happened to you, if you were walking down or someone came along and gave you a gift of $50,000, they'd be happy with $100. But that would be good news, and I don't think they'd be afraid to go and tell their neighbors or tell someone, say, you know what happened? Can you believe it? Someone came and gave me $50,000. We have something that's worth a whole lot more than $50,000. We have something this afternoon that can be a help to people around us, and people are struggling so much, and we know what the answer is. It's Christ. That's the good news. And this gospel of this kingdom will be preached in all the world. And again, I want to challenge and encourage all of us. Let's take that as a personal commission, a personal burden that the Lord has a place for me to fill, if it's one or if it's to many. And to the mothers at home, sometimes the enemy would come along and maybe try to bring discouragement that you feel like you're stuck. You can't go out. You can't do anything because you have the children at home. That's your mission field. You have a wonderful opportunity for those right there to share with them the good news of the gospel, number one, by the conduct of your life, and then number two, by actively teaching and sharing with them such that they will be persuaded. And later on in life, they may choose not to serve the Lord, but that's their choice. But they'll always know, I had confidence in Mom. I had confidence in the way she lived and what she taught me, even if they choose not to live that way. So I don't want any of us to be discouraged and say, well, I have to work a job, so I can't be out sharing the gospel. Yes, you take the gospel with you on the job. You take the gospel with you to school. You take the gospel with you to the store, and let your life, your conduct, be in ministry, as well as don't be afraid to open your mouth and share it. It's good news. And we need not. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the world needs. And if people reject us when we share the message with them, what have we lost? What have we lost if someone rejects and we try to testify to them or share with them the gospel of Christ? What have we lost if they look at us funny? What have we lost if they think we're crazy? We haven't lost anything. There's no reason to be ashamed of it, because the Lord can still take those few words sometimes. Maybe it might be a few words of the clerk in the store, but just plant a seed. And the Lord can take those things and work with it in ways we may never see the result. I'd like us to go back to where we left off this morning over in the book of Romans, in the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10, In verse 21, this is where we conclude. He said, "But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." Now, on one hand, it's discouraging for Isaiah when he took the gospel, he took the message. He didn't even have the power of the gospel that we have today. He had an Old Testament message. He had prophecy of a better day coming, and we are in that better day. So how much more impetus should there be in our message that we have to take to the world? Because we've experienced Christ. And so while it's a little discouraging when people reject it, consider the long suffering that God has. He said, "All day long I've stretched forth my hand unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." The Lord has that same love and same long suffering for people today. The lost loved ones that you're carrying, the burden that you're carrying for the lost loved ones, God's hand is stretched out to them still today. He's being long suffering. He's being merciful even when they are being disobedient. The gospel message is still reaching out to them because the Lord wants them to get it. So let's not be discouraged when we pray and we pray and we pray for the lost loved ones. The Lord is still reaching out to them, and that's His love. That message of the gospel, it was commissioned to us to go. Jesus said, "Go ye in where? Into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel." The focus of our message must be the gospel, and the gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. If we start letting the focus of our message be me, you see, be us, we are going to lose the power of salvation. The power of salvation is through the name of Jesus Christ, and that's where the hope is this morning and this afternoon. But we are commissioned. And when Jesus sent them out, I don't think most of the preaching that's done is done behind the pulpit. See, there's a lot of people don't come out to hear the true gospel of Christ, so we have to go out and take it to them. And that's our job. In Acts, in the first chapter, one of the main things that the primary things the Holy Spirit does, and there's different things, but one of them is to give us power. You'd be endued with power after you receive the Holy Spirit. But over in Acts in the first chapter in the 8th verse, I would that we understand what is the purpose of the power. Part of the purpose is that so we can live a consistent holy life. But He said, "You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." You see where the focus of the witness is again? It's Christ. "You'd be witnesses of me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You'd be witnesses, and where does witness start? At home. That's what Jerusalem was. You're going to be witnesses of me at home. If you cannot be a witness of Christ at home, you have no business going to Samaria. If you can't be a witness of the Lord at home, you have no business going into all Judea. And that's the reason why it's important that we have an experience with God, that our family has confidence in our life. I've said a lot of times, if it gets to a place that my wife doesn't have confidence in me, I have no business, and I'm talking about if she loves the Lord. Now, if she's just being critical and bitter, that's different. But if she loves the Lord and she has an experience with God, and because she knows my life more intimately than anybody else, if she doesn't have confidence in me, what business would I have be going to Samaria? The uttermost parts of the earth, it starts at home. That we live and conduct ourselves in such a way that our children and our husband, our wife, those that know us best can say they've got something from God. So it starts in Jerusalem, but there is a commission that the Lord has given to take the gospel out. And I will say it is not just the pulpit ministry, but I want to say about preaching this afternoon. The power behind an evangelistic message, whether it's coming out of your mouth or whether it's coming from behind this pulpit, understand. The power of evangelism or sharing the good news is not about a great sermon. It is not about brilliant rhetoric. It is not about convincing arguments, and it's not about interesting illustrations. It is about sharing under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit the message of Christ that reaches people's lives. There have been many messages, or I will say sermons preached. They're not messages, they're sermons. They're man-made. Put together a lot of good things in them, you can go and say, that was beautiful. But beauty does not save the soul that's lost. Beauty does not necessarily challenge people that are saved to a closer walk with God. What challenges them is the anointing of the Spirit of the Lord that has a way of penetrating their heart that they can leave and say, I felt a connection with God. To me, that's what anointing is. It's not just in the beautifulness of the message or the beautifulness of the rhetoric or the beautiful and say, oh, there was lots of stories. That was interesting. I've heard people tell interesting stories and people walk away and say, I didn't get anything spiritual out of it, but the stories were interesting. The stories can be good. Jesus used stories. He used them as a means of illustrating, but it was to bring us to a point that we could know what God's expectations are, that it would minister our heart. Different preachers, different messages come in different forms. Some are in the form of teaching. A little bit, some is a little bit drier, some is a little bit more methodical, and some is a little bit more just reaching out to the very essence of the spirit of man. However the Lord chooses to use it, we want to be messengers of the gospel. That's part of the reason the Holy Spirit came, was that we would have an empowered message. And if we ever get to a place, and again, you pray for the pulpit preachers. But you pray for yourself, you pray for your family, that we would all of us have be anointed messengers of the gospel. I don't want to move in my own authority. I don't want to move in my own power, but I want to move under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit came, was to lead us to give empowerment to the message of the gospel, that it could reach the lost. In 1 Corinthians, in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. He said, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know, the preaching of the cross this afternoon, it's foolishness to people that don't believe. And you know, there have been times, and I will confess, there have been times literally when I've considered about preaching. You feel kind of foolish if you just think about it from the human standpoint. Think, what are you doing? You're getting up and you're making a fool of yourself. You're making, but you know that's the enemy? The preaching of the cross is foolishness. To them that don't believe, but to those that have a heart to do right, the preaching of the cross is our deliverance. And it's the preaching of the cross that's going to reach out to people that don't believe. When they begin to hear it and they begin to see and experience just a little bit of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that they can say there must be something to it, and the Lord can use that to talk to their hearts. And so if we ever get to the place that we try to appease the wisdom of this world, we will bring in the band to our services, we'll bring in the drums, we'll bring in the piano, we'll bring in the guitar, we'll bring in the different colored lights. We'll try to have something programmed such that it ministers to the flesh. But that ministers to the flesh never brings redemption to the soul of man. The only thing that will bring redemption and make a permanent, consistent change in someone is the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. And people aren't comfortable with it. And if they walk away, at least they heard it. And when they get ready, if they ever get ready, they can still know there's a place you can go where Jesus is lifted up and the cross is preached. And if you yield to it, it'll get you to heaven. Preaching the cross is foolishness to them that do not believe. He talked about here, it's not with wisdom of words. In verse 17, he said it was not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. There's nothing wrong with education. There's nothing wrong with preparing oneself. If I were to get up every time I were to preach and say, well, I'm just waiting on the Lord and open up my Bible and say, Lord, what do you have for us this morning? It means that I have not been spending the time in prayer and study and in preparation that the Lord wants. But understand this, that in everything we do, we want to be moved by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There have been times I had a message ready from the Lord, I thought. And right before it's time to get up, the Lord started giving me something else. And so, Lord, in faithfulness, I'll just give that. I didn't have the time to study for that particular message, but my heart was there. The Lord wants our heart to be in a condition that He can make some U-turns, that He can tell us when to move and when to sit. That's part of the living and moving under the unction of the Holy Spirit. But here, it is only the Word of God. It's not with the excellency of speech. It's not with the learned tongue that brings redemption. It's in the preaching of the cross. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit. The wisdom of this world. The preaching of the cross. Let the critics tear it down this afternoon. Let the philosophers deny it and say we're emotionally weak because we are using religion or using Christ as a crutch to make it through. Let the critics say what they will, but there is still power in Jesus Christ today because I've experienced it and I've seen it and it's still working today. What kind of message do we have to take to the world? It's one of hope. It's one of power. It's one of redemption. And again, if people will not listen, I would that the message of the gospel still go out. If you get the door slammed in your face, if you get cussed out, and I've been there. You just get torn down verbally by people's words. If you get spit upon, if you get falsely accused, if you get ridiculed or called self-righteous, are we not willing to take that as a little bit of the cross? Are we not willing to bear some reproach of the cross? Because folks, this is where the power is. And if one person, in all of the efforts you make in life, if one person can receive the gospel, then it's worth it. I remember years ago, and this is just a personal testimony, because that's what I best can draw on, but I remember going somewhere, and it was a place I'd never been before to have them. We were going for a meeting. Never been there before. And it was a place that there were some things at work. There's stuff going on. And they didn't know me real well, and I didn't know them real well. So there were probably some natural suspicions when we went. And the Lord gave me a message on hell. On our way there, we're driving across the country, and I said, Lord, how can I get up and preach about the judgments of God and hell to these people? There hasn't been a foundation to learn for them to know me. There hasn't been a foundation to kind of segue your way into the judgment of God. And the Lord gave me the message and the Lord blessed it. But the point being is this. I went back a year or two later and someone came up and told me, and there may have been some that sought the Lord in that service. Actually, I believe there was. But the point I'm making is this. A year or two later, someone came up and told me. They said somebody said they had a loved one that was dying and they said they got the tape. They'd gotten the tape of that service and they got saved. And I thought, Lord, if I drove 1,500 miles to preach a message about hell and there's one person that was saved from it, then I'm willing to bear the ridicule and reproach of coming in and having people think that's just one of those old judgment preachers that doesn't have the love of God in them. Because I want to preach judgment with love, but there's a place of judgment as well. That part of the cross is the judgment that comes with it. Always mixed with love. Don't misunderstand me. But the point, again, let me get to the point, is that one soul, I thought regardless of what everybody else thought about me, not knowing me, and here he gets up and preaches about hell, there was someone that was saved from hell. Not because of me, but because of the message of the gospel. That there is a deliverance. There's hope for you. You don't have to go to hell. That God, I would that it encourage and challenge us. Let's not be afraid when people don't accept it. When people don't want to be around us. Or when people, again, there's a cross that comes, you'll be falsely accused of things. Because the devil will try to undermine every good work of God. And that's where the devil will use any means he can to discourage us from taking the message of the gospel to the world. And it doesn't, it's not only out in the world, folks, it's right among the camp. There will be people that you thought you had confidence in. There will be saints, there will be saints' children that will reject the message of the gospel, and the enemy would like us to back off from it. But again, I want to challenge, as few as we may be, let's go with courage. Let's not be afraid to keep being messengers of the gospel, because that's where the hope is. That's where the deliverance is. I want to conclude. Over in the 52nd chapter of Isaiah, we read this morning in another passage where this was quoted, but I want to go back. We didn't focus on it, but I want us to go in closing, read the prophecy. Isaiah 52 in the 7th verse. The prophet said, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." He said, blessed, or how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings. Folks, there is a, again, different calls that we all have. And we do not measure ourselves by the call, well, I'm not called like them, so I'm inferior. Or I'm not going and doing what they're doing, so I guess I'm not as important. All of us are important to the work of God, and we are all called to be messengers of the good news. How beautiful, though, are the feet of those that bring good tidings. That's the gospel. He was speaking here, that the message here goes far beyond the Jews being delivered from Babylon. This is specifically, he was talking about the Jews being delivered from Babylon, but he was also prophesying of a day to come when Jesus Christ would come. How beautiful are the feet of them that have carried or brought good tidings, those that publish peace, good tidings of good, that publish salvation. There is a blessing and an honor that we ought to bestow upon those that are taking the message of the gospel. There is a, again, while all fill a different place, it seems like we live in a time where many people have not devoted their lives and given themselves to the ministry of the Word of God out of a burden for the lost, out of a burden for souls. And I believe this afternoon that there is a great respect and a great honor that we should bestow on those that have been messengers of the gospel. Those that have taken the truth, those that are willing to peril their lives for the cause of God, there ought to be an honor and a respect, whether it be those that go near or far, for those that are messengers of the gospel. How beautiful that is. May they be blessed in their deed. And that last, in the last part of that verse, part of the good tidings were, they saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Isn't that beautiful this morning, this afternoon, that we can go out with that message? You can go home with that message today, that God still reigns. God is still alive. He's still bringing hope to a world in darkness. What price this afternoon are you willing to pay? How much are we willing to be inconvenienced to be a messenger of the gospel of Jesus Christ? God has called us to be messengers today. I believe that the Lord would that the children, young people get a glimpse of what it means to dedicate your life to God fully to be a messenger of the gospel. Whether He calls you to go somewhere far away to share the gospel, or whether it's right at home, that we be messengers of the gospel. If He teaches the girls, the young women, as they get married and they bear children, to recognize, I want to be a messenger of the gospel at home. And when we go to work and when we go to school, say, this is my mission, Phil. I have a cause. And I'm not going to isolate that and separate it from the rest of God's work. But that our lives would be dedicated to the work of God wherever we are. Lord has called us to be messengers of the gospel. And I will say this afternoon, there is fulfillment. There is fulfillment and there's blessings in being a messenger of the gospel. May the Lord bless you all.